The following program has been furnished and paid for by Auto Pros Radio Show, and KSCB is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered. Up the doors, the garage is open, and here we go, the Auto Pros Radio Show. And now, here's Robert, Jody, and Lynn, the Auto Pros.
Welcome back, Houston, Auto Pros Radio Show. I'm Robert with Auto Tektronics, here with Mr. Jody Chesser and Lynn Beckwith.
Good morning, y'all.
Be here.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
That's right, and get by our website, autoprosradio.com, and all of our preferred service centers are listed on there with their contact information. If you need help with your vehicle, no matter what you need, they'll be able to take care of you. So if you would use one of our sponsors, let them know that you heard about it on the Auto Pros Radio Show.
That's right.
I would appreciate it. And if you can't get in today, you can send us an email, info@autoprosradio.com.
We've got a map I just put up on Facebook, so you can find the preferred service center near you.
Very good.
Yep.
All right. We try to answer those emails as quick as we can. I finally got access into that. So
that's right.
I'll
good.
Be able to help out Robert and Lynn with some emails throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. I was reading an article about how the automakers are supplying our driving habit. How our vehicles now record so much of.
Right.
Not necessarily where we've been, but how we're driving, accelerations, hard stops, things like that. Sharing that with the insurance company. So, of course, you can always, some of the insurance companies you subscribe to, they send you a dongle, basically, that gives them directly that information. But even if you don't have one of those in your vehicle, they are likely clocking what you're doing and how you're driving.
Yeah, they're watching to see how many times you go to Specs Liquor.
And this article, this gentleman driving a little Chevy Bolt. So, I mean, how fast can he be going? Mm-hmm. It's a Chevy Bolt. Actually saw a 21% increase in his insurance premium. And when he called to find out why, he'd had no accidents.
Yeah.
The insurance company had not had to pay out any money, but they sent him a 258-page consumer disclosure report that showed him all of his driving stops on 640 trips, their start and end times, the distance driven, and an accounting of any speeding, hard braking, or sharp accelerations.
Really?
The only thing they didn't have is where he drove the car.
Hmm.
You hate
to hear something like that. A man hadn't had an accident or anything, so he's got driving habits, but
he's probably a very good driver.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, there's very good drivers.
So why be penalized?
Yeah.
For how you drive, but
it's Big Brother.
That's right.
Down to the specifics of driving 7.33 miles in 18 minutes, there had been two rapid accelerations and two incidents of hard braking.
I think that's just
a
way to make a money grab out of it.
I think so, too. I think it's gone a little bit too far with the Big Brother information.
It has. You know, they're going to track you. People are worried about it. I'm going to get rid of TikTok. I want to get rid of this. If you got your cell phone.
Yeah, you're stuck.
You're being watched.
You're stuck.
By somebody.
Yeah.
Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only way you can do it is if you turn off all that stuff.
Oh, insurance rates are probably going up just for talking about them.
Yeah,
right.
They heard me. I'm in trouble.
Right. They're listening in, aren't they?
Well, you know they're listening. You know your phone's always listening.
That's true.
You know, you talk about something, the next thing you pick it up, and bam, there's an ad for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, picks it up. Or you have an Alexa device in your home, and all of a sudden it pops up, whatever you were just talking about.
Yeah, I wonder if there's like a special button you can push to let them know you're at a track day, you know?
That could be.
Right.
You never know. But give us a call, 281-558-5738.
Yeah, what if you're at the track running a race and they're like, man, you're driving fast.
Right. You know? Of course, the person doing that might deserve a little higher insurance
I'm at a racetrack. Everybody's going around. They're taking a bunch of left turns around here.
Right.
And there are very good drivers that are capable of, you know, maybe getting on the gas a little bit more than others.
That's right. You have to drive defensively. That's the main thing, because so many you know, if you just really watch, you know, when you're driving around and watch how some folks drive.
Oh, yeah.
It just makes no sense. You always have the guy behind you that's just trying to get around you, and he hurries up and passes you, and then you're right behind him at the red light.
Well, that or they go across five lanes of traffic on I-10. And back again, back to the other direction. And then, you know, and they're just all up. Now, if they could track that, I'd be in favor of
now,
it.
Now, when you pull a trailer, especially when you're pulling a big RV like mine or something like that, everybody's going to try to get out in front of you.
Oh, and they know. They know you're going to be a little slower.
As you're
on
coming to an intersection, they're going to try to hurry up. Now, I can excel pretty good in that Ford.
Yeah.
that Power Stroke's got some power. I guarantee you, I can just kind of spin the tires if I need to.
Right.
And I don't have a program or anything. It will. That's the most powerful truck I've ever had, but it pulls it good. But, yeah, when you watch people, man, everybody wants to get out in front of you. And we end up passing them.
Yeah, those. I know my 2020, it'd pull anything.
Yeah, it'd be like driving a big 18-wheeler or dump truck. And, you know, I understand some of those. They take off really slow, you know, and you try to get around them, but they have to run somewhere. But, you know, they're constantly having to watch the person in front of them, pulling them out, trying to get around them. And
you know, I experience it in the van, in the Transit. I guess, you know, it just looks big and lunky. And I try and leave a good amount of space. You know, I'm fairly defensive in the way I drive, and I'm forever have somebody cramming in front of me.
Yeah. Well, when you drive the smaller vehicle, you know, small truck, like a Nissan or something, everybody, you know, hurries up, get around here, want to, you know, do whatever. But when you drive the big F-350 with the big ranch end on the front, they bow down to you a little bit when you come into an intersection.
Respect. Vehicle respect, right?
They don't want to get you get hit by that big ranch end, that's for sure. But we have some open lines. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. Let's run out and talk to Ed. Ed, you're on with the Auto Pros. Good morning.
Good morning. Last year, I bought a Hyundai. It was a 2021, and it had a sign there in the window that it had nitrogen in the tires.
Yes, sir.
Well, that didn't mean one way or another. I didn't know what they meant by that. I know what nitrogen was, but why did they have an advantage or anything? I started driving
that. Having a hard time hearing you, Ed.
You're kind of cutting out there, Ed. You got a bad little cell signal going on.
You hear me now?
Yeah, there you go.
We got you there.
Oh, okay. I took the car up to my tire man to fix a flat, and he didn't have nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So he put in that regular air. He said, don't worry about it. Next time you go to your, you know, dealer, have him put some nitrogen, take the other air out, put nitrogen in.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't make any difference,
No.
How much does nitrogen cost if I have somebody else put it in?
Well, the thing about it, Ed, is air, just regular old air, is 78% nitrogen already.
Right.
And so the molecules, in theory, don't escape the rubber in your tire quite as fast as regular air if it's pure nitrogen. I personally don't see enough benefit to pay to put nitrogen in your tires.
Right.
I had it for 7 months, and they leaked out about 2 pounds of tire each. And that's a lot for me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the nitrogen, you find that a lot of dealers, that's an add-on.
It's a money maker.
That they have. Yeah, it makes money.
Yeah.
Because, we've put nitrogen in your tires. We've added window tint. We've done paint sealant. You have this great package for $1,500, and we can't take it off.
Right.
You know, so basically, it's a way to get the consumer to pay more for the vehicle with all these little add-ons that really don't cost them as much money. Now, it's not a bad thing to put nitrogen in your tires.
No, it doesn't hurt anything. I just would not go out of my way even a mile put nitrogen in my tires.
And it doesn't hurt, you know, just to put regular air because it's 78% nitrogen either way. That doesn't matter. The only thought process behind it was to it would help maintain your air pressure without losing it, you know, when the temperature is very cold to hot. You know, that's the idea behind it. NASCAR is really big on it because their tire pressures when they're running, you know, 190 miles an hour, it's really crucial, you know, and they don't want that to vary because it can cost them a race or, you know, have a tire issue or whatnot. But the everyday driver, you know, I don't see the advantage, but it's sure not going to hurt anything.
What was
sure,
that?
Go for it. He wants a two for one.
Hey, I was reading my manual on the car and some of the service stuff on there. I can't believe it. You know, it says like check your transmission. You don't have to check it. You know, no need to check it for God. I think over 100,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what do you go by, their schedule or just how do you have to check that?
Well, it depends on if you want to buy a new car sooner or later. So a lot of the manufacturers are recommending transmission services around the 100,000 mile mark. But by then, you've got pretty old fluid in that transmission. So I would recommend doing that before 50,000 miles for the first time, typically at 30, and then every 30,000 miles after it. And as far as checking it, I think they're just wanting you to check the level of it.
Yeah, as far as transmission fluid, you know, if you don't have a leak and it's at the proper level, you don't burn transmission fluid like you can burn engine oil or anything. Okay,
but you guys scared me into that transmission, so before it got 50,000, yeah. I had Lynn's shop change it, you know.
Sure.
Well, thank you for that, Ed. Yeah, I would strongly recommend that, and then we'll do it every 30, and that way you'll also have the BG protection plan out by your side if you ever do have a transmission problem.
Hey, if I slip you a couple of dollars under the table, or can I get another question in?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Speaking of that maintenance, how can you really tell, like, you know, I hear there's you don't have to have no power steering fluid anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's electronic.
And how about the coolant and all your liquids in there? How do you know when to change it?
Any of the liquids, I just go by the 30,000 mile rule as far as changing it. Now there are ways to check brake fluid to see how contaminated it is or how much moisture it has in it.
Same way with coolant. You can check for some variables in the coolant.
Yeah, you can check for electrolysis buildup. You can check for, you know, concentration and that kind of thing. But the best thing to do is if you just change all those fluids if you're planning on keeping a car for a long time, you know, mm-hmm. you change them every 30,000 and it just avoids a lot of problems.
Good rule of thumb that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I had to go to the dealer to get all, and they're supposed to do it when they say so, you know. You say you have a way of checking it.
Well, you
like,
don't.
The brake fluid, I think, mm-hmm. is the one I'm worried about next.
How many miles are you at now, Ed?
Right now it's at 52,000.
Yeah,
it's time.
It certainly is. I like to see brake fluid every 30,000 miles or every 2 years.
A lot of manufacturers recommend it 2 years. Yeah. I know BG products does as well.
But you do not have to go to the dealer for that.
Well, see, when I got the car there, they had a checklist of everything they did to it. Mm-hmm. You know, they checked the transmission, but they didn't say that they serviced it. They
right.
checked it, but all I know is they changed the fluid, and they said they put a detergent in it, and they changed, checked the fluid and the brakes, but they didn't say if they, you know, did any work to it. They just might have checked it. But it looked like it had gone through, you know.
Yeah,
everything looked good on it.
Yeah, they always go through a nice checklist, and most of them call it like a 27-point inspection, and they're going to check all the fluids. They're going to check the tire pressure. They're going to check the undercarriage and suspension and just a good general look over, and all your reputable shops are going to do that for you. You know, anyway, that's our job as technicians and shop owners is to make sure when your vehicle comes in that, you're number one, you're safe, and number two, that you're aware if it's time for services, you know, if we're going to recommend it or recommend something down the road, you know, prepare for the next oil change. You know, it's going to be time to do this. And that way you have time to schedule it, because you can't schedule a breakdown when it's on the back of a tow truck.
Well, and Ed, bring it back out to Beckwith's. And what we'll do, too, is we'll do what we call a dab plate on it. We'll, you know, we can pull all those different fluid samples for you, mm-hmm. and either, you know, have you join us in the shop or bring it up to the customer area where you can actually see the fluids, the condition they are. We'll compare that with the mileage on the vehicle, when you serviced it last, and kind of help you set priorities on which are the most important to do and when.
Yeah, because that little sticker they put in the windshield, I guess it's every 5,000 oil has to be changed. Well, I got about 1,500 more miles to go for that oil check, but for me, my low driving, that's three years almost.
You don't really want to leave oil sit that long.
Yeah, you got to look at the time frame. So I would probably, you know, I'd change it at least. I don't know how often you would have to change it, depending on your driving habits, but at least change it once a year, because it's sure not going to hurt anything. That's just what the manufacturer recommends, because as normal driving intervals, about 5,000 miles is pretty common for most drivers. Some are more than others. But you want to make sure that oil change is done documented, because you bought a new Hyundai, you know, it's got a long powertrain warranty, so you want to make sure everything is documented, you know, at least that oil's been changed at the recommended interval.
And we'll keep all that up for you, Ed. It'll all be available to you online, and of course we'll have all your records if you ever need us to print them out.
Okay, then. We'll be looking forward to going down there.
Look forward to seeing you. Okay. Thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Bye.
We're going to back out here and take a quick break. Steve and Jack, hang on. We'll be right back. You're listening to Auto Pros Radio here on 700 KSV The Voice. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us this weekend on the Auto Pros Radio Show. Online, you can find us everywhere on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio. All of our shows, in case you missed one, and links to Auto Pros approved repair shops all over town, you can find it at autoprosradio.com. Shops you can trust are just a click away. You can always email us, info at autoprosradio.com, and be sure to tell your friends to tune in Saturday mornings, 10 to noon.
BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance. Carbon buildup in your engine will reduce your fuel economy, cause engine hesitation, rough idle, and excessive oil consumption. BG Products has you covered for all your fluid maintenance services and fuel system cleaning needs. They are so confident in the quality of their product, they back it up with a lifetime protection plan. All of our Auto Pros preferred service centers offer the BG services because they work. Find a list of preferred service centers at autoprosradio.com or go to bgfindashop.com to find a BG service center near you. That's BG Products, the number one name in preventative maintenance.
Auto Techtronics, your one-stop automotive service center. A family-owned and operated repair shop that has been in business for 40 years, serving the Katy, Texas, and surrounding areas, providing all types of mechanical and electrical automotive repair work for both import and domestic models with a three-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Auto Techtronics also performs all the factory scheduled maintenance for your vehicle. Robert Gruner and his staff of technicians pride themselves on taking care of their customers and doing repairs right the first time. Located at 5330 East 5th Street in Old Katy, give them a call, 281-391-7617, and schedule an appointment today. That's 281-391-7617, Auto Techtronics in Katy.
Is your transmission slipping, jerking, or making funny noises? Well, let me recommend the great folks at Gary's Transmission Service. Whether you have a classic car or a late model vehicle, Gary's will diagnose your problem and let you know if it's a transmission problem or something else that makes it feel like a transmission problem. The experts at Gary's Transmissions are trained in today's most complex transmissions for both foreign and domestic. All transmission rebuilds come with a local two-year, 24,000-mile parts and labor warranty, including annual preventive maintenance service at no charge during the warranty period. Quality transmission repairs done right. 281-347-8888. Gary's Transmission Service.
You don't have to look too far to find an honest, skilled, and friendly auto service center in your area. It's really simple. Just visit autoprosradio.com. All of the Auto Pros Radio's preferred service centers boast decades of experience and are dedicated to hiring, training, and keeping the most skilled automotive professionals in the industry and have a reputation for outstanding customer service. No matter where you are, go to autoprosradio.com to find a great automotive shop near you. Or check us out on Facebook at Auto Pros Radio.
Welcome back to Auto Pros Radio. Jody, you're breaking out in your new career?
That's right. Taking it easy over here.
Right.
Give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV.
Lynn's cruising music right there.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the girl in the flatbed Ford to drive by, right?
There you go.
Let's go out and talk to Steve on a 99 Camaro. Steve, you're up.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I bought this car about a year ago. It was started in the spring, so I've used the AC all summer, and it really gets cool.
Yes, sir.
And when you started getting warm or, you know, cold this fall, I used the heater through the wintertime, and it started warming up, and I turned my AC on, and it has a digital dial, so I dialed it about 68 degrees, but it kept blowing warm air like the heater, and you turn it down to 60, and it still blows warm air. I was wondering if there was something like a AC heater control valve.
Well, it's probably an actuator or something that's yeah. stuck, because usually when the actuators go bad, they'll default to the heat.
Yeah, it doesn't. The defroster doesn't work. It just blows out of the heater out of the vent on the dash.
Okay. Does that have dual climate control where you can adjust passenger and driver separately?
No.
Okay. So pretty simple system there, because a lot of those actuators, when they fail, you'll feel it on one side blow cold, one side it blow hot. But if that defrost, if it's not blowing through there, so you have electronic actuator motors, okay, that are mounted onto the HVAC housing, and there's one for the defrost, and then there's mode door actuator, and then there's one for the vent control modes. And so it sounds like one of the actuators has failed, and it's not letting you divert to the heat setting.
So are those underneath the
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Have you ever changed the battery or anything on that one?
Yes.
Okay, because sometimes when you change battery, those actuators can lose their position, mm-hmm. and they have to be recalibrated. And normally you have to do that with a scan tool.
Sometimes you can try disconnecting the battery and like leaving it disconnected for an hour or so to where all the capacitors bleed out and everything. Hook the battery back up. You go in, you turn the key on, and just let it sit there with the key on for about 5 minutes.
Not starting it.
Yeah, not starting it. You just turn the key on, and if you listen, you'll usually hear the doors moving back and forth inside there running through their calibration.
Okay.
Now you can try that. If that doesn't work, then you'd have to take it to a shop to where they can – if there's a failed X-ray, there's usually going to be a code logged with it.
Right.
And okay, that, so when you put the new actuator on, you have to have it free.
Whoever replaces it, I mean, they should run it through a calibration procedure.
Yeah, and you can they can go in there and check for a diagnostic trouble code. It's not going to turn a check engine light or anything on because it's in your HVAC module, but it does store a code. But they can also go in there with the scan tool and actuate the actuators themselves and see if something moves, because they have little nylon gears in there, and over time those things tend to strip out. Unless you have something going on with one of the doors that the actuator moves inside the HVAC housing, sometimes we've seen the doors that break loose or get stripped out, and you know, you end up having to replace the HVAC housing as well.
Stephen, what side of town are you on?
I live in Tomball.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't be too far to come on down and see Robert at Auto Tektronix and Katie.
Or up north, you can go to Green and White Automotive.
That's right.
45 and Spring Cypress. They're just east of 45.
Yeah.
Not too far from Tomball.
All right.
That way they can check to see if maybe when you replace that battery, if something lost calibration, and maybe you don't need an actuator. But if you do need one, they can certainly take care of that repair and also get it all calibrated for you.
Well, this happened about 6 or 8 months after I put the battery in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's probably going to be a failed actuator, but they'll be able to diagnose it properly for you and get it fixed.
So can you, if you have one of them little code readers, will it tell the...
It's probably not going to show that.
Some of the code readers will just access like your engine control module, powertrain control module. Yeah. Some have ABS function, but to my knowledge, not too many of them communicate with the other modules.
HVAC module.
Okay. All righty, well, I appreciate the information.
Thanks for the call,
Steven. Where are we going, Jody?
Let's run out to Houston and talk to Jack. Jack, you're on the show. How can we help?
Okay, guys, when I put gas in my car, even though it's not empty, it just happens when I put the gas in. After that, I'm okay. it's like it's out of gas. I have to pump it a few times. I have to hold the accelerator down a little bit to finally get it going in through there.
Yep.
But after I do all that, it's fine. I never have a problem starting it, just when I put gas in it. What do you think that might be?
First thing I'd look for is a bad purge valve on that escape, because the purge valves will leak, and when you start putting fuel in it, instead of the purge valve should be closed, and when they leak, when you start putting fuel in it, it pushes fuel vapors past it into the engine, and it's actually flooding the engine to where when you go to start it, it's just start, stumble, stumble, stumble. So when you hold that throttle down, you give it extra air, and it leans it out and lets it start and run. And then once you get it running, you know, it usually stay running fine. Sometimes it'll cause a check engine light when one of those leaks, if you got a check engine light on.
You know, I do have one on.
Okay, well, I can almost guarantee it's going to have an evap, some kind of evaporative emissions code.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really common, because basically what it does, it floods it down like an old carburetor, you know, when this happens. So if you fill it up with fuel and you're getting it where it's hard to start, if you push the throttle all the way to the floor, okay, it cuts the injectors out. Okay, and then you can crank it over, and it actually burn that excess fuel out, and then it starts and runs fine. So you could try that, but with the check engine light on, you're going to have something in the evap system that's leaking.
Okay, so hold the gas down when I start it, and then should I wait a little bit before I do it, or just hold it? Just as soon as I hold the gas down, go ahead and turn it off, try to turn it on.
Yeah, hold it all the way to the floor, and then turn it, and just crank it over, and then just let off and let your foot off the accelerator, and then start it up normal. Yeah. But either way, with the check engine light on, you're going
to
have an issue. That's just one thing that you could do if you were putting gas in it and you didn't want it to, you know, be hard to crank until you can get it looked at.
But I still have to get it looked at, even though it starts that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because you're not going to pass a state inspection, and you don't want it to keep going.
Well, and just
go ahead.
Well, just a side note, you don't want to top off your fuel either. So if you're going to the pump and you're putting that extra, you know, 50 cents in or whatever to bring it up, that's part of what causes trouble
with that for a car. If you do that, try to top it off like that. How much is it, if it is that purge valve? I mean, I know every place is a different price, but what is the general average? I mean, is it an expensive fix?
It's not. Typically, it's not real expensive, but I can begin to throw a number out there.
Jack, where are you located?
Southwest side by the Galleria.
Yeah, go see David's Auto Central down there in Stafford. He'll take good care of you and be very fair with his pricing.
Okay, David's Auto Central. Okay, but do you think I should tell him that could be it? I mean, do you think that's what it is? I mean, I should probably have him examine it first.
He's still got a diagnosis.
I would just tell him, look, I got a check engine light on. Every time I fill up, it's hard to start. You know, you just give him the symptom.
Yeah.
I always tell people come in and they want to tell me what's wrong with it, and I'm like, just tell me the symptom.
Yeah.
I want to know what the symptom is. You know?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I'll do that then. I'll give him a call and I'll swing by there. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
In the meantime, I'll do that when starting it. But yeah, I probably won't be able to make it there till later in the week. But I'll definitely do that in the meantime. But I will get it checked out.
Very good.
Good
appreciate
job,
your
Chad.
Call, Jack.
Uh huh. Bye bye.
All right. Out to Sugarland and Don. Welcome to Auto Pros Radio.
Morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. Number one, I have a C10 69, and the fuel gauge has been messed up for a while. When I would fill it, it'd move up to about 5/8, and then, you know, as you use the gas, go down to empty is kind of normal. But right now, it's sitting on empty, and I don't know whether to just pull the whole tank. I've been driving around, so it doesn't have much in it. Play with the sending unit and raise it more, see if it's working properly. I mean, what was your suggestion? And also, I have a question about an alternator on a Madison Ferguson tractor.
On that gas, you said it's a 1969 C10?
Yeah.
So typically on those older ones, the sending unit was a 0 to 90 ohm resistance. So, you know, if you ground it, you know, you make it 0 ohms, I mean, it would usually go full or empty. I can't remember which. And then if you substituted something, put like if you took a test light, a test light that has a incandescent bulb in it, not an LED bulb, you could usually put that in line and it would make it read a quarter or something like that. And so you could kind of get an idea if the gauge works like it's supposed to. But I actually have a decade box, and so I would make it 0 and I'd expect it to go one way, and then I'd put 90 ohms in, dial 9, and then it should go full the opposite way, you know. And if it responded like that, well, then you know it has to be in the tank. It's got to be the sending unit.
Is that still mounted behind the seat on that one?
No, I actually have a Suburban, so it's all the way in the back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
69 Suburban.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
You got a good classic one there.
Yeah.
Yeah, more likely it is going to be something with the sending unit.
That's the most common thing.
Doing the gauge sweep just tells you, yes, my gauge operates properly, it reads, and it's going to be the sending unit.
Okay, and then also I have a Massey Ferguson tractor, and it's been draining the battery down, and so I charged it up. It's got an AC Delco alternator on it, mm-hmm. and after I charged it up, I kind of smelled something, and I went over there and touched the wire going to the alternator, and it's pretty hot. So I guess there's something wrong with the alternator because I can disconnect the wire and it starts up okay. But if I leave it on there, it has a hard time cranking. So I guess the alternator's fried or something.
That's the big battery wire you're talking about is hot?
No, it's just a little wire that goes to the from the alternator gauge, the amp meter, mm-hmm. down to the alternator. So does it? I think it's probably the alternator's just bad.
It could be. I mean, if it's an old, like a 10DN, does it have an external regulator or internal?
It's external.
So it's probably an old 10DN Delco alternator, and yeah. You know, you had three big diodes in there, and if you have a diode that goes bad, you know, it'll drain that battery when it sets. Mm-hmm. If that's the problem you're having.
So I just take it off and go have somebody test it?
You can do that. You know, I mean, I don't know if many of the parts houses do that anymore or not. I mean, if they do.
Really?
Yeah, some of them do, some don't.
I took the battery cable off the positive, and the thing still runs. But
yeah. Are you in Houston? Yeah, you're in Sugarland?
Yeah.
So there's a place called A1 Auto Electric. And all they do is rebuild starters and alternators. And if you take them that alternator, they can test it and tell you if it's any good or not.
Okay.
But look up A1 Auto Electric. They're on Waldo Street.
Waldo. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where's Waldo?
It's like the Beltway and I'm trying to think of West Park Tollway, okay. Kind of in that area.
Okay.
But they're really good. Keith is the owner over there, and I mean, they're really fair, and he's a really good guy.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. All right. Let's go out and grab Tom in Cypress. Tom, you're on Auto Pros Radio.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a comment about the nitrogen in the tires. I'm a longtime racer and so forth, and you mentioned NASCAR where they put nitrogen in the tires. And
right.
The main difference between just air from your shop compressor and that nitrogen is that the nitrogen is completely dry.
Right, yeah.
How you got to drain water out of your compressor all the time. So, you know, when you put that wet air in the tires, the pressure changes a whole lot more between cold and hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that moisture expands and contracts in there.
Right, right. Much more than just, either oxygen or nitrogen. So it's the water vapor. And you'll notice that, if you pull a trailer, you go out on the highway and check the tires. Mm-hmm. After you go a couple hundred miles, they got several more PSI. Anyway, that's the big advantage of having the nitrogen in there, really, is to keep your pressure more consistent between cold and hot.
Yes,
and then kind of a secondary thing is that your wheels don't rust or corrode.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, on the race cars, I mean, the racing slicks, the tread will actually get up like 240 degrees, and then the water in the tire actually boils.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so then you gain a huge pressure difference, and you can't hold the thing on the track.
Right.
So anyway, that's just my comment about the real difference between the nitrogen and just air.
Right. That's a great point, Tom. Thank you.
It's just, consistent tire pressure.
Absolutely.
So, That's what I had for this morning, so y'all have a good day.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
You bet. Bye.
All right, we're going to back out here and take our last break. Yes, it's your last chance to get in on this last segment of the show. Give us a call, 281-558-5738. You're listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KCB The Voice. We'll be right back.
Are you needing to have your vehicle's scheduled maintenance performed or mechanical repairs done?
Don't wait. Go to autoprosradio.com, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area, and give them a call today to schedule an appointment to have your vehicle serviced and have that peace of mind your vehicle will be safe. And remember to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV.
David's Auto Central in Stafford has been performing quality automotive service and preventive maintenance for over 35 years. Their technicians are ASC certified and trained to handle all your automotive needs, from air conditioning, brakes, electrical repairs, diagnostic service, engine repairs, and much more. Let the fine folks at David's Auto Central take care of your automotive needs. Located at 2526 Fifth Street in Stafford, that's 281-499-9684. That's 281-499-9684. David's Auto Central.
Beckwith Car Care has been servicing the Humboldt, Atascocita, and surrounding areas for more than 35 years. You don't stay in business that long without providing great customer service and repairs done right the first time. Beckwith has factory-trained technicians that know how to diagnose and repair your vehicle. They provide a nationwide 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service to work, home, or play. They also can arrange to pick up your vehicle if needed. Visit Beckwith.com and schedule an online appointment today to have your vehicle repaired or maintenance services performed. Give them a call, 281-540-2000. That's 281-540-2000. Beckwith Car Care.
Green and White Automotive has been servicing Spring and surrounding areas since 1977. Their ASC certified technicians will diagnose and repair both import and domestic vehicles and back those repairs with a 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. Now that is peace of mind. Do you have a diesel truck? No problem. Green and White Automotive is your local diesel expert. They understand your time is valuable and will get you back on the road in a timely manner. And they also have a free shuttle service to work or home. Automotive repair and maintenance service, all at a fair price. Give them a call today, 281-353-7682. That's Green and White Automotive, 281-353-7682.
Hey, this is Robert. Thank you for tuning in to Auto Pros Radio. If you need us during the week, email us at info@autoprosradio.com. You can listen to all of our episodes by going to autoprosradio.com, and you can find a list of our approved shops located all around Houston and surrounding areas. And don't forget to tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday from 10 to noon on KSEV.
Welcome back to Auto Pros Radio. I'm Lynn Beckwith with Beckwith's Car Care out in Humboldt. Across the table is Mr. Robert Gruner with Auto Tektronix in Katy, and Mr. Jody Chesser, our diesel dynamo and warranty wizard.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had the pleasure of talking to one of our regular listeners, Tom, this week on the phone. And Tom, welcome back on the air. It's great to hear from you.
Well, how do you do, Lynn? Appreciate you got that song on the radio I've been talking to y'all about.
Well, I'm glad you heard it. That is one funny song.
Did you get to watch the whole video?
I did. Oh, yeah. I did. We all did.
Yeah, it's a song that tells a story, and it's funny, and you don't get that much anymore.
We all need a good laugh, don't we?
Yeah, three or four maybe.
Right.
And when you get that boat, I want you to take pictures so we can all have plenty more.
There you go.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that, but this week, girl at my doctor's office, she had a old Chevy HHR passed down to her through the family, and it's leaking oil. And I recommended some of that that stuff you pour in there. You know, Bars Leaks makes it, Motul makes it, everybody makes it that swells the seals and all.
Mm-hmm.
Does that do the job they advertise it does? It's only like $15-$20 a bottle.
Shame on you, Tom.
Not for engine oil leaks, it's not going to do anything.
Yeah. Some
it could even make it worse.
Yeah, there's some products that condition the seals, but it rarely fixes an oil leak. And I always worry, especially if somebody doesn't really know what they're buying, because some of the oil leak fixers in general clog up things they shouldn't clog up.
Yeah.
So if she goes and potentially, you know, walks into the parts store and wants something that's going to fix a coolant leak or an oil leak, suddenly it's like putting sawdust in your bar's
coolant stop leak. It works well, you know, for minor leaks. You know, if you have a radiator or something that's leaking at a seam, you know, it's seeping some coolant. You know, the bars can go in there and help it, you know, for a while, but eventually you're going to have to get it replaced, and you don't want to use too much of it. Because if you keep putting it in and putting it in and putting it in, it's going to plug up
your passages.
Oh, right. Yeah, I've seen that happen.
Now, I think I maybe heard it here or somewhere else. For the radiator, y'all said black pepper?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it coagulates just like your blood when you cut yourself. So black pepper basically can do, you know, what bars does. You know, for
is
a cooling system.
Is it peppercorns or ground pepper?
Just the ground pepper.
Ground pepper. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I learned that from an old radiator guy many, many years ago.
Yeah, and it doesn't have an effect on any engine passages or? Cool.
Nah, it kind of fills up the hole.
Organic automotive repair. We've got a new thread now.
Now all we need is to run some biodiesel and get some tires made out of horse hide, and we'll be good.
Yeah, there's plenty of biodiesel out there nowadays, or at least there's a percentage in our diesel fuels now.
Yeah.
Up to 20%.
Willie Nelson started that in Carl's Truck Stop on I-35.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. It goes back a ways, but I remember
driving
that.
Trucks back then.
Yeah, Willie got in that. That's what made him rich, wasn't it?
Well.
I think he's doing
amazing.
Pretty good.
It's amazing how much money you need to make when the IRS comes and takes all of it, you know?
You're right. But, hey, he made it to 90 and still going, still touring, too.
Yeah. My dad.
And I don't know about y'all, but I got woke up at 4 a.m. this morning with some house-shaking thunder, scared my dog, woke me up, and then it rained for about 4 hours. So, thank God for the rain.
You did good. Worse than that pollen away, too.
There you go. Y'all have a good day.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Tom.
All right, where are we going?
Out to Livingston. Patty, welcome to Auto Pros Radio.
Thanks for taking my call.
Miss Patty.
My symptom on my, I have a 2007 Ford Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And the symptom is that started it, and it was sounding like it was going to start, but it never would connect and crank, you know, completely crank. And did that numerous times and nothing. I had a battery thing and put that on there, so it wasn't the battery. Anyhow, we put a scanner on it. Scanner says catalytic converter. Does that sound right?
Well, it's saying converter efficiency, probably. Catalytic converter below efficiency.
Okay.
Like a PO420, maybe the code.
Or 430.
I don't know.
430. Because, typically your catalytic converter codes are stored for an efficiency issue, but that's not going to give you a starting drivability issue, anything like that.
So you're saying it turns over, but it won't start, Patty?
Yeah. I'm not sure the terminology is that. Yeah. It's like the battery's working okay, but it won't start.
Yeah. You'll need to, you know, first thing I do when I get a car like that, if you know, quick check, you got to kind of determine, is it a spark issue or a fuel issue? You know, one way I do it at the shop is if it won't start, I take the air intake loose and, you know, give it an alternative fuel source, whether it be with propane or something, and see does it fire. If it fires, well, then you know you're dealing with a fuel issue. If it doesn't fire, well, then you may be dealing with a spark issue.
And your catalytic converter code may not have anything to do with it starting or not starting.
Right. It just may have been in there from previous time. But if a converter's completely plugged off, like completely, I mean, it can stop it from starting, but that's very rare that happens. Because you would have had all kinds of drivability issues before that.
Okay. Because since then, so it just, you know, every once in a while I'd try to start it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden one day it started.
Mm-hmm.
And drove for a while, and sure enough it's happened two more times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you could have something like a bad PCM relay, like a bad relay that supplies power to the PCM and everything that doesn't supply power sometimes, or you could have a bad fuel pump relay, or you could have a bad fuel pump. You know, next time it won't start, you crank, won't start. If you have somebody there, have them bang on the bottom of the fuel tank and see if it starts. Mm-hmm. You know, you jar that fuel pump around a little bit.
Use a rubber hammer, block of wood, and just hit underneath there and see if it fires up and runs, because that fuel pump could just be on the verge. You know, you got it to run one time, and that won't. It just will not build enough fuel pressure to start.
Helen, Patty, we've got a lot of customers that live in Livingston at Beckwith's in Humble, and we're just a little piece down the road from you there on 59. Give the shop a call, and we can get it towed in if you're not able to, you know, to knock that tank and get that fuel pump to work. Or, you know, we can definitely do all the diagnostics and find out specifically what's going on for you.
Okay, give me the name again.
It's Beckwith's Car Care.
Spell it, please.
Sure, B as in boy, E-C-K-W-I-T-H. And I'll give you the phone number.
Okay.
281-540-2000.
2000. What's your name?
I'm Lynn.
Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much.
Well, all Patty, right. Thanks for calling. We'll look forward to seeing you.
Okay, do I have time for one more quick question?
Sure.
Okay, the AC cycles off for a few seconds every once in a while. Any idea what that might be?
Be a low Freon, could be a bad pressure switch, and could be excessive gap on the clutch on the AC. There again, when you take it to Beckwith, they'll be able to tell you what that is.
Okay, all righty. Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Patty.
I appreciate y'all. Sure. Take care.
All right, let's run out and talk to Don in Sugarland. Don, you're on Auto Pros Radio. Hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
Injector pump. Yes. I mean, the tractor runs fine, but it leaks diesel fuel. Do you know anybody that can just replace the seals without just tearing the whole thing apart, rebuilding it?
You'd have to call M&D Distributors. They're out in they're out in Humble, but they don't have an actual service center where they do repairs on North Shepherd, but they still have their diesel shop over there, and they rebuild injector pumps, but they also have them in stock, and I mean they have injector pumps from way back. Those are the people that you would want to take it to and have them, you know, reseal it.
Yeah, I think they want to totally do a rebuild on it. It's about $1,400.
Right.
Would you consider buying any kind? They have some that you can buy that from Czechoslovakia or something.
You know, you just don't know. Brand new. You just don't know till you tried one.
Yeah.
About 800.
Yeah, it's a lot to risk though if it's not.
Yeah,
good.
The issue you get, you know, if you have issues with it, warranty and returns and things like that. At least with M&D, you know what you get. Is it multiple places it's leaking or just one seal?
I think it's just one or two seals in there.
Yeah, those seals just get hard over time, and, you know, they're just not going to – they end up, actually, they get a little crack in them, you know, when they get hard enough, or especially around the little shaft seal, the front seal. And a lot of times those injector pumps, when they're mounted up, they would crack in that front seal and then fill the crankcase with diesel fuel.
Okay. Well, it's a good grass killer.
That it is.
Okay. I was trying to stick it over an ant bed, though.
Just put a clean bucket under it, and then you can refill the tank.
That's what I do.
You just like my brother-in-law, then.
Thanks a bunch.
Right, thank you.
Recycle the diesel.
Right.
Expensive stuff. Can't let it go to waste.
That's exactly right.
Where are we going?
Let's run out to A-Leaf and talk to Steve. Steve, good morning. You're on with the Auto Pros.
Yeah. Hi there. Good morning. I've got a 2.5-liter engine in a 1990 Chevy S10 pickup. Mm-hmm. I drive it about 10 or 12 miles, and then it starts to sputter and just dies. Let it sit there for 10, 15 minutes. It'll start up and can go through the same routine. You get any kind of ideas or wags as to what where to start looking for that problem?
Overheating fuel pump, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Which engine was that?
2.5.
2.5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bitty four-cylinder that they made. It just keeps running forever and ever, but now it stops every once in a while now.
Yeah, that's the old Iron Duke engine, ain't it?
Yeah. Yeah, they were a good little engine. Let's see. Any check engine lights, anything like that coming on?
The OBD1 tester told me I had a one flashing light in his face and then two flashing lights, so I, 12.
No, that's the normal, yeah. Everything's working code.
Yeah, that means you don't have a code,
right?
That's kind of what I thought.
Because it would follow with a 12, it would follow the code, and then it would go back to 12, and that meant that you went through the series of codes if there was one.
Okay.
But you don't have a code on that one, so... But it will not do it when it's cold or anything, only after it warms up?
Like I said, I started off out of town a couple of times and only got about 12 miles, and then it just shuts down. It, like it's trying not to fuel.
And when you try and restart it, it shuts down when you try and restart it. What does it do?
Nothing happens other than the starter will engage, and fortunately that gets me off the road and to a safe place. But no fueling at that point.
Okay.
So it's got a single throttle body injector on it?
That's right.
So when it won't start, can you look at the injector and see if you see any fuel pulsing?
No, I'll have to create some way to
get somebody to help you do that. Yeah, get somebody to help you do that, because that'll tell you right there if that injector's spraying fuel. Then that tells you that the pickup and distributor's working, the PCM's working. I mean, that tells you a lot of things right there working. Because that still has a distributor on it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And there's some kind of electronic device that's a little flat disc with some wires going to it. I pulled that out, tested it. Cap and rotor has been 10 years or so, I put wires and plugs just because I was doing something I don't like to do. I don't like working on that thing anymore. It's not any fun.
Yeah, that has a that's a pickup coil inside there. Inside that distributor, it has two little wires coming off it, usually a green and a white wire coming off.
Well, actually, this device is screwed to the bottom of the distributor, and it has three on one side and two wires on the other.
Oh, that's the ignition module.
The ignition module, okay.
Yeah, and I mean, that of course can get hot and it'll kill it, but there again, if you got to see, do you have that injector pulse? Also, I was looking. Apparently, there's a lot of times the injector itself will short out and kill it. You know they're saying that the injector gets hot and it causes it to stall.
I'll be darned.
There's a lot of hits for that.
Anything else in the fueling system? Just fuel pump or?
Well, of course, any of that could be it. But like I say, get it to where it stalls and have somebody crank it for you and see. Do you see any fuel being pulsed out of that injector?
Okay.
If there's no fuel being pulsed out, then either there's no fuel there to pulse, or the injector's not receiving a signal.
Yeah, there's so many things that could cause that. Yeah. There's a post here even about a cam sensor overheating.
Yeah, when you get it in a crank no start situation, get you a can of carbon choke cleaner, something like that, and you can spray in that throttle body, and if it starts up and runs, and you know you're dealing with the fuel issue.
Okay.
And then you got to backtrack and see if that fuel pump's getting hot, shutting down, things like that.
Yeah, see if a module's telling it not to do its job.
Yeah, because those systems only had 9 to 15 pounds.
Yeah,
that's really, that's
pretty
all.
Simple system.
Yeah.
And they buried that fuel pump in the gas tank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But like you just got to figure out what's going on there. Which way? All right.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
you. Thank
you.
All right, we're up against the end of the show here. Jody Lynn, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
Thanks for everybody that called in. And go out and see our sponsors and support them. They help keep us here. You've been listening to Auto Pros Radio Show here on 700 KSEV The Voice. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Auto Pros Radio Show. Hey, if you need help during the week, go to our website, autoprosradio.com. Or if you need your car serviced, see all of our recommended preferred service centers in your area. Check out our Facebook page at autoprosradio.com for the latest posts on what's going on in the automotive industry. Share a comment with us and tell your friends about the Auto Pros Radio Show every Saturday, 10 to noon, here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.